God has spoken to us. We have the opportunity, a great privilege, to see the message that God has communicated. We open the Bible. We can start from the beginning and see that God is the one who created the earth. He's the one who made life. We find out very quickly that people sinned and they went against the law of God. And then throughout the rest of the Bible, that kind of starts in Genesis 3 through the rest, it really is about redemption. It's about God providing a way so that we could live a life, even in this world, in a relationship with Him, and more than that, in heaven, be able to live with Him forever. So as we look through the Bible, we're seeing that God is communicating His plan and His will. He's showing us His grace and His love, and so we have sung the song, Wonderful Words of Life, and that's really what the Bible is. It's an opportunity for us to listen to God and to understand who God is. And really from that, we're able then to make our own decision whether we want that relationship or not. God does not force us, but He always invites us. And He gives us this opportunity to understand Him and to know Him better. So we that are Christians, you know, we haven't given up on learning. And hopefully we've not given up on listening to God. And that's what I want to talk about today is listening to God. And sometimes that's a challenge in our world. It's always been a challenge for people to really listen clearly. And again, reading through the Bible, even Old Testament, New Testament, we find that even people that say, I am following God, I read God's word, I go to a place of worship where they worship Jehovah. You know, even those people who are kind of us people, still had a problem over and over and over again of really listening to what God said. And I want to talk about maybe some of the reasons it's a challenge, whether it be today or whether it be 100 years ago or literally 2,000 or even 4,000 years ago. And part of that is being able to tune in, being able to really, really listen, to receive, to accept that message. So today, just about all of our devices are digital. And so for some of us that are really old, we may remember in our car, or we have, you know, a little radio, and it had a dial, and you actually had to find your station. It was not digital. You had to kind of scroll through using this dial, and it would kind of move this the meter so that we can find out what station, and you can kind of get close to the station. It doesn't really come in really well, and then you finally lock on to it, you know, and so you just kind of always have to move this dial. Well, that doesn't always work, so sometimes you have to take this thing called an antenna, and you turn it, and you face it, and if you're really smart, you may even buy an extended antenna you can plug in, and it makes it even more powerful. And again, for some of us people that are like super old, that's the way you used to do TV, right? You know, we had to, you know, find the station, and then, you know, we had this big antenna that, you know, it was like 100 feet in the air, you know, and sometimes you'd even, you know, the people with luxury antennas, you know, used to have the dial, and we could actually move it automatically to, it's got to point in the right direction. What for? To receive the signal. And so we went to great lengths so that we could receive a signal so we could watch a program or to listen to something on the radio. But even then, it didn't always work, did it? Because it depended what the weather was like outside. It depended on, you know, how strong that signal was. Maybe the people that were sending it, they were really far away. So even then, it would be kind of coming in and coming out. We'd be losing it. And so sometimes you'd even miss half your show trying to figure out what's going on because, you know, it kind of went to the screen that's kind of all fuzzy. So we had a hard time receiving the signal. But if we can't get the signal, it's hard to get the message. And so God has given us His message, but how willing are we to receive it? So, you know, back in the day when, you know, everything was analog, they had to send the signal. But today with God, the problem is never with God. Sometimes people think, well, you know, God has just not sent us a clear signal. God's message, you know, it just seems a little bit fuzzy. It just doesn't seem to make sense. And so sometimes we almost sound like we're blaming God, that He's actually a bad communicator. That God didn't just know how to say or what to say. And so He put things down, but sometimes they just don't make sense because God didn't even really know what He was trying to say. Or, you know, God didn't give us enough information here, and maybe gave us too much information over there. Or maybe we live in a society today and we say, well, you know, God, you know, maybe that was fine for simpletons, but today we're so intellectual, you know, God could have said something else to us and that would have been more helpful. But the fact is, God has told us, communicated to us, His word of what we needed. Now, He could have given us more information, but, you know, I always come back to when people say, I wish that God had told me a lot more. You know, I kind of wonder, how much time do we spend in, you know, the really small book that God has already given us? You know, people are like, well, that's a big book. That's going to take a long time to read through that. And so you wish you had 10 of these? Is that what you're saying? So you could read through it all and understand more? You know, so most of us don't even spend enough time in the limited information God's given us. Having extended information is really not necessary, because God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So here's the idea that we've got to tune in to what God has said. And so we want to look at some verses that talk about tuning in and some of the challenges that we face even today of really tuning in to hear what God has to say to us. So even in Jesus' day, like, Jesus is God in the flesh. Through the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 1 says, in the Old Testament, God spoke to many people in many different ways. And so we talk about the Old Testament. Sometimes He talked to people through a dream. Sometimes He talked to people directly. Sometimes He'd get people to write some things down. Sometimes He would communicate through an illustration or through a parable. Sometimes He would try to communicate to people even through the environment, through the weather, through disaster, through famine, through wars. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that God tried to communicate to people. But He says in these last days, God's communicated to us through His Son. He's revealed His will. In other words, God, the Son, God came to earth to live among us to explain who God is, to explain God's plan to us. And I know you all know that, but you think, well, if Jesus was here, everybody could just listen and go, okay, I get it. Because Jesus knew everything that was going on in heaven and knew everything about His Father. He came down to communicate that. And Jesus, God in the flesh, certainly had the ability to communicate. He even could know, the Bible says He knew what was in people's hearts. So as He's talking, He could be like, oh, these people don't understand. I can make it clearer. I can explain this. I can help them out. But the problem is, the people didn't want to hear. They didn't want to receive the message. They didn't want to tune in. And so in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks to them in parables. And maybe many different reasons why He used a parable. In other words, a parable is Him illustrating a spiritual truth through something that we can understand. So something that's very physical. So we talk about things like farming and fishing and finances and working and being prepared and just all kinds of different ways that He would use an earthly story in order to communicate a spiritual truth. And so He talked to them in parables, and even the disciples came to Jesus. This is right after He told the parable of the sower. And if you're familiar with the parable of the sower, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but ultimately the parable of the sower is about your heart. And ultimately the heart has to do with how willing and how able you are to receive this message. So again, the seed was planted by the sower. The sower is Jesus. Seed's Word of God. Our heart is the different kinds of soil. So we've got the seed, comes into the soil of our heart. How do we receive it? Well, some people's hearts are hard. Some people's hearts are thorny. Some people just have birds in their heart. We're not going to get into that today. Figure that out. Study it. And some people have a heart that receives it. So what he's talking about is how well people receive this message. But here's the problem. Jesus said that people are unwilling to listen. They're unwilling to understand. They just have so many barriers, maybe that they've put up in their life, but barriers at least they need to recognize so they can tear them down. So Jesus says, although seeing, they do not see. And although hearing, they do not hear, and they do not understand. And that's the challenge that the people in the first century had. Jesus would tell a parable, and they heard the parable, and you know what they thought? I understand. I know what Jesus is talking about. I'm tuned in. I'm open. I'm receptive. I'm making myself available to God, so I'm going to listen to Jesus. And Jesus says, yeah, you think you can hear, you think you can understand, but you're not really getting the main message. You're not really accepting this into your life. So that was the challenge that they had. That's the challenge we can even have today when we read the Bible, or when we come to church, or when we sit in a Bible class, that we're not really that open. Now, we think we're open. We claim to be open, but maybe we're not as open as the way we really understand and accept and then do the will of God. And so he's going to explain what this means. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, always listening. There's always some talk going. People are always talking about spiritual things. They're always talking about God. They're always talking, but you're not really understanding. You're not really receiving it. Never understanding really what this means. Never understanding it well enough to say, I need to make this a part of my life. And you will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. You'll never really get to this. But this is what he says. The people's hearts become calloused. And again, that's the parable of the sower. Their heart has become calloused. It's kind of gotten hardened over. The heart has gotten to the point of saying, I'm really reluctant to change. I'm really reluctant to accepting something new in my life. I'm really reluctant to allowing God to have control. Because, you know, I've lived long enough in my life that I realize that that can be dangerous. That's not really going to take me to the place where I want to be. I'd rather maintain control. I'd rather hold on to all the things that I believe and I understand. The things that mean, maybe it's got to do with my attitude, even towards truth. You know, some people's attitude of truth is, well, if I can completely understand it, I will believe it. Or if I can connect with this through my feelings, in other words, if it feels good, it must be true. But if it doesn't make me happy, or if it doesn't take me to some end result that I'm really looking for, well, it can't be truth. It can't be right. Because it's not making me feel happy. It's not connecting with what I'm looking for. But that's not really where truth is based. It's not based on how we feel about it. Truth is based on reality. They hardly hear with their ears and they've closed their eyes. And maybe you know people like that. You know people that they're unwilling to really think something through. They're unwilling to think logically. They're unwilling to even be involved in a conversation. Or maybe you're like that. To a certain degree, I guess I'm like that. I mean, we're all like that to some degree based on certain things. So Jesus is saying, we need to change the way we receive. So kind of recap again, God's transmitted a message. It's clear, it's available. And again, I say this many times, but more available to us today than it's ever been in the history of the world. Knowing Jesus is much easier today than it was in the first century when he walked on the earth. Do you believe that? Do you know why that's true? Because if next week Jesus came and visited us here at Royal Oak and he got up and did a sermon, we could all listen and maybe we could understand. Maybe we'd forget. We probably wouldn't have it, well, we would in this day and age, but it wouldn't have been recorded back then, right? So after Jesus is gone, but where's he going to go next? Well, he's going to go to another town, another church, right? So we get one shot at being around Jesus. Maybe if we're lucky and we live around Nazareth, he comes and goes a little bit. But we don't even understand the whole teaching. We don't understand all the lessons. We don't understand all the purposes of why Jesus is here. Because we don't see the end of the story. But now we can sit down and read about all the different places he visited. All the people he touched. All the lessons he gave. All the interactions he had. And then we can continue to reading through the Bible to see how all this comes together. And the amazing thing is, you know, as we're talking about going through the Old Testament, how much can we learn from the Old Testament? we can learn so much more than the people who lived in the Old Testament, even though they had it and they could read it. But they'd read it and go, I wonder what that means. I have no idea what that means. But how many times do you read in the New Testament, Paul saying, you know, in the Old Testament it says this, that was fulfilled in Christ. And we'd say, I wouldn't have gotten that on my own. I wouldn't have figured that out, right? So like, for instance, one example. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God said, it's through the woman's seed. It's through her seed that Satan is going to be crushed. It's through her seed. Right? So people, what does that mean? I don't know. Through her seed. Seed. What's that? Must be her descendants. Well, it must have been Abraham, maybe. A promise that was made to him. Well, that was part of it, because that was a promise that continued. Well, maybe it was King David. And great king. No. What was it? Well, Paul's the one who said, it doesn't say seeds plural, it says seeds singular, it's one person. Never noticed that before. Never thought about that before. That's why Paul's bringing this up. The people are like, really? That's true. It does say seed singular. It's one person. Ah, well, one person? Who could that one person? Paul's like, okay, it's Jesus. I'll let the cat out of the bag. You don't have to use too much brain power on this. One person, Jesus, he's that promise all the way back from Adam and Eve day. So we learn so much in God's Word. He's communicated it, and we've got so much of the explanation of what these things mean and how they fit together and how we're blessed through it. But so often we get caught up in the things of the world. So God's sending a signal, but sometimes we're not in a place where we're accepting the signal because we've got our radio or our tuner or our television or maybe even our iPhone. And you know, we're scrolling through to see what we can listen to. And there's a lot of stuff that's put out by the world if you've ever kind of gone through your radio stations. And so maybe we get too involved in listening to a different frequency. So we're not really listening, we're not really tuning into God, we're tuning into a lot of other things. And then we get really fed and we get led and we get controlled by the things of the world. And then once in a while, you know, maybe for some people on a Sunday morning, we'll say, hey, I'll tune into God for 1 hour, Sunday morning. But the rest of the week, I'm tuned into the world. So what kind of effect do you think that's going to have on your life? Just a curious question. You're going to have to figure that out on your own. But how much are we tuning in? So the interesting thing is I used the word frequency. Frequency has to do with what signal you're attaching, you're looking for. But frequency also has to do with how often. The frequency with which we are in God's Word. The frequency in which we are listening. How often and how intently are we willing to listen? So that's the challenge people had even in the first century, as Jesus is speaking. Maybe they've just got their preconceived ideas. They've got stuff they've been taught by their mom and their dad. They've got stuff that their culture, their society, maybe even their synagogue, their religious leaders, things that they've all accepted and they believe in. And they've transferred or transmitted those things to their children and to their grandchildren and to us. And so we've got our minds already made up. We've got things all figured out, apparently, but we really don't. But we think we're pretty good. But they're unable to really listen. But are we making ourselves available to hearing from God's Word? So this is what Jesus says, kind of as a summation of this point. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, they would hear with their ears, and they'd understand with their hearts. And I would turn and heal them. Now again, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah. So maybe we could start backwards. How does that sound? You know, if we went to people and said, what do you really want? What do you want in life? And I would think that most people in life, what they really want, what people really want is they want to be healed. They want to be healed. They want to be healed from their fears. Like maybe some of them actually want to stop talking about coronavirus. Right? I don't want that to consume my life. I want to be healed from my disappointments, broken relationships, my guilt and my shame. I want to be healed from the things that I feel are constricting my life and they're holding me back. I want to be healed from my sadness, my discouragement, despondency. I want to be healed from my lack of motivation. I want to be healed from the things that society has done as a whole, individuals have done to my life. I want to be healed about the stuff that's even holding me back. I'm actually holding myself back. I want to be healed from the pain that I have, from living. So Jesus is not promising physical healing. Now some people will be physically healed. And maybe sometimes that will be a divine act of God that people will be physically healed. That can happen. But you know that's not promised to everybody. Because you know people that have been sick and you've prayed for them and with them and they're still sick physically. But he wants to set us free. He wants to set us free. And I'm thinking that most people in the world, that's what they want. They want to be healed. Well, if you want to be healed, then what do you have to do? Jesus said, you know, if you understand God's word in your heart, you can find this healing. But in order to understand God's word in your heart, you have to have your eyes opened. And then you can see. But in order for you to have your eyes open so you can see, you have to have your ears open so you can listen. So Jesus says, if you listen and you see and your heart's changed, then you can find this healing. You can have this healing. Jesus wants this for everybody. And so what's holding people back is they're unwilling. I mean, God is more than willing, right? Reminded over and over again that God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to be free. He wants everyone to be healed. He wants everyone to have salvation. That's what he wants. So where's the problem? The problem is with us, because we're not really tuned in with what God desires for our life. So a similar example comes up with this. Who Jesus is, why did he come, and is he really that important? That's what people in life would say, you know. Well, he has some good teachings, there's other people that have good teachings. He's a good philosopher. He's a good moral person. He's got some good things to say, but so do others. Right? So you can maybe, and it seems like this is the new age today, that's kind of the new age movement, is there's truth in everything, so just accept truth no matter where it's found, and, you know, you don't have to be exclusive and say, like, Jesus is the only way. You know, Jesus is just providing some information, but there's a lot of other information out there. And I think that's probably what people in the first century thought, that lived in Jerusalem, or in Judea, or in Nazareth, even Jesus' own apostles. You know what they would have said? Well, Jesus got a lot of good things to say, but you know, and Moses has a lot of good things to say. I mean, you know, he's the lawgiver. And by the way, Elijah has a lot of good things to say because he's the one who symbolizes all the prophets. So we've got the law, we've got the prophets, and we've got Jesus. They're all good. Right? Let's put them all together and, you know, we can just live in them all. We can accept them all. We can believe them all. Now, there's a lot of good in the law and the prophets. There's a lot that can be learned through the law and the prophets. But, you know, Jesus is not on equal ground or equal par with the law and the prophets. Because here in Matthew chapter 17, it's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you remember, they were there and Jesus was praying and then all of a sudden Moses and Elijah appeared. And now Peter has a really great idea. He's saying, this is fantastic. I mean, Moses and Elijah, I mean, they're great. And Jesus, pretty good too, right? I think in his mind it was kind of like Moses and Elijah, maybe they've come to teach Jesus a little bit. Maybe they've got some stuff they got to straighten them out. Right? Because I don't think they really understood. And so Peter says, this is great. Why don't we all just kind of hang out together? Why don't I make a special place in order to honor? I'll make three of them. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. But then the cloud came down out of heaven. And if you're familiar in the Old Testament, the cloud quite often represented God, that he would show up in a cloud. And so here, but from this cloud, God spoke. This is when Peter was still speaking, when he says, hey, let's build some tabernacles, some shelters. You know, it's not like it was going to rain. And he said, you know, let's kind of, you know, keep you guys high and dry. It was a way to honor these people. But this is what God said. This is my son. This is my son? I mean, that was not said of Moses. That was not said to Elijah. This is my son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. And here's what we're trying to talk about today. Listen to him. Don't listen to others. Don't get caught up in, you know, trying to follow everybody. Or even follow somebody else. Listen to him. And if that's what God said to the 12, that's what God's saying to us. Listen to his son. Listen to Jesus. And so that's what our focus is. And again, you know me, I enjoy studying and learning from the Old Testament. There's a lot of rich history. There's a lot of things about God we can understand, God's nature, how God works, God's power, even God's judgment, God's grace, and his love for his own people. A lot of things we can learn from the Old Testament. But when it comes to salvation, salvation is found in Christ. All of the Old Testament is pointing to Christ and what God is going to do through his son. And so God says, listen to Jesus. Tune in to Jesus. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Open your heart to Jesus so that you can hear clearly. John 16 and verse 12, Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He says, when I'm gone, he's going to teach you. I guess Jesus knew that it was going to be difficult for the apostles to accept a lot of things that he was saying. So he had already taught them a lot of things, but he's saying, I've got a lot of other things I need to tell you, but you don't really understand the basics of what I've said. So quite often, this is like right near the end of his life. So quite often Jesus would say things like, you know, you've got to serve. The greatest will be the servant. I have come, I'm the son, I've come not to be served, but to serve people. And the apostles never really got that until later, till after Jesus had died. But Jesus said, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to die on the cross. They never really understood that at all until after it happened. Jesus said, after I die on the cross, I'm going to raise from the dead. So here are the apostles. Jesus has been saying this over and over again. Jesus dies on the cross. And they are so shocked. How could this ever happen? What's going on? Who saw this coming? Right? Completely didn't understand it. But now I'd like to think most of us would say, yeah, but he also said he was going to rise from the dead. Didn't he? Don't you remember that? Do you remember that? Yeah, yeah. Okay. So he said, that didn't come to anybody's mind. Right? So when he rose from the dead, everybody's saying, he's risen from the dead. The apostles are like, that didn't happen. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. So this is the idea. Jesus kept trying to tell them and teach them and show them what was wrong. Right? It was, we would probably say it was just too much for them to grasp. It was just too outside of their paradigm of the Savior, of life, of salvation, so they didn't really listen. They didn't really get it. But the Holy Spirit's going to come and to teach them. And so now we're in Psalms, and this is David. Psalm 119 is you know, a very long chapter about just the Word of God. So this is what David says. He's got the law. When the king first came into the kingdom, when he was first anointed and crowned as king, the thing he was supposed to do is to write down all of the law of God and then to study it every day. And I don't know how much David did that, but he definitely loved God's word and knew it was a part of his life. If he wanted to have this joy and peace and God with him, he's got to be in God's word. So he says, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. This is what we've been talking about. Just making ourselves available, looking at it with open eyes. Now, obviously, if you're reading it, yeah, you have to have your eyes open. Maybe sometimes we listen to it, but we have to have our eyes open. He says, I'm a stranger on earth. I don't really know how I ought to live. I don't really know how things are supposed to go. I don't want to even be a part of this system. A lot of the stuff that's going on in the world is quite foreign to my thinking and foreign to what I believe should be going on. So he says, do not hide your commandments from me. Make them apparent. Make them so I can understand and so I can be willing with a willing heart to do them. And then he says, my soul is consumed with longing for your law at all times. So we have to be tuned in. But today we've got the digital. And so it's kind of easy to get tuned in. But quite often, I'm not a good multitasker, right? So sometimes I think I am. But I can put something on the radio. Now, it may be religious or it may not be religious. Not irreligious, though. Okay. But you can listen to the radio, maybe even just driving in your car, for hours. And somebody will say, well, you know, did you hear that song? It's like, no, didn't hear that one. It was on, but you know, what would happen? Well, my mind is somewhere else. I'm not really focused on what I'm listening to. I'm focused on something that happened yesterday, something that might happen tomorrow, is how I'm feeling. I'm focused on, you know, something I've got to do or somebody I've got to see or just focused on something that happened 20 years ago. I'm like you. You're like, I don't think of that stuff. But anyway, whatever you think about, because we're not focused. But are we like that with God's word? Are we focused? Now, sometimes it's not a case of not being focused. It's kind of like, well, I kind of have it all figured out. I know how the ending goes. I've just, you know, so you hear something, you hear it over and over again, but it's the same message. It's kind of like that same recording you keep having. I know what this means, and I've got it figured out, and that type of thing. And then maybe one day you read it again, or maybe have a conversation with somebody, and it's like, I have never seen that. But I mean, I've read that verse a lot. I've never seen that before. It actually means something. I thought it was just kind of in there, just kind of blah, blah, blah. You know, I didn't know what it was there for, but I finally get it. I'm finally connected. I finally had my eyes opened. Finally had my heart opened. But the last way that sometimes we don't quite make the connection is when we hear it and we understand it. So we're receiving the message, and maybe we're believing the message, but maybe we don't really trust it enough to actually do it. To actually do it. And we all struggle with that. We know what the right thing to do is, but sometimes we struggle to do it. We know that God has told us, and this is for our good. This is for our happiness and for our peace. This is for our future. This is for our relationship. This is to make us better and stronger. This is to make us whole. This is to bring us healing. Yeah, I know that. I know that. So, are you going to do it? And I say, well, it's kind of hard. I've never really done it that way before. Or, I've done it that way quite a few times and it just didn't work. Or I've heard other people that have done it or haven't done it. And so whatever we use to justify or to make excuse for, sometimes we don't always do it because we don't really believe it. It's kind of living in a world of politics. I don't know if you understand this or not, but sometimes there may be a politician that would say something, and he's really not going to do it. Right? So it gets hard to vote for somebody or to get behind somebody when it's just all talk. Do we think that about God, though? Well, God, he doesn't really understand me. He's not really going to fulfill the promise. It's not going to work out the way he said it would. So sometimes we can become very skeptical in the world. So we can't be skeptical about God, though, because we know that God is faithful, that God is going to fulfill the promise that he has made. So when we listen, we not only understand, but we believe so that we can make a change based on what we've learned. So we're going to sing a song to encourage people, to encourage all of us, as we continue to make the decision to follow Christ. Maybe some have never initially made that decision to say, I want to become a Christian. I want to be a part of a relationship with God. I want to put myself in a place where I can receive the promises. I can receive his blessing. I can receive the strength. I can receive the forgiveness. God wants everyone to be saved. That's all of us. That's you and that's me. So if today you want to accept Christ and put your full trust and faith in him and in his word and follow Jesus, you can be baptized into Christ today. Maybe there's some that are still struggling after they've made that initial commitment and made a covenant with God, but we're all struggling. I realize that. We're all struggling. But if we can encourage you, maybe you need prayers of the church, if we can be a blessing, we always give an opportunity on a Sunday like this for you to respond. Let's stand. We'll sing this song. Let us know how we can encourage you.